This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, we have now completed the official day number one, which I'm calling day number two, just to keep things confusing over here. This episode number 366 is brought to you by the Friends of the Magic Word, and we want to welcome Scott Robinson, who is the newest member, and thank you very much, Scott, for your financial support. Scott is the organizer of TRIX, that's T-R-I-C-S, which is the convention, the close-up convention in Carolina that's going to be held this year, November 9th through the 11th. And so be sure and check that out. That's over at trixconvention.com. That's T-R-I-C-S convention. There's no K in that. But again, for those of you who might be interested in checking out how that you can help support the Magic Word and become a friend of the Magic Word, be sure to go to themagicwordpodcast.com and just click on that and see how that you can become a patron either on a one-time or an ongoing basis. Well, in this podcast, we have several more people we had an opportunity to sit down and chat with. It was another full day, actually the first full day of activities from the morning till afternoon and into the evening. And in fact, actually, as I'm starting to record this now, there are a couple more convention activities that are happening. That is that immediately after the evening show, we had a lecture that was by Kent Cummins, followed by another lecture by a gentleman named Jeki, J-E-K-I. And earlier this afternoon, we had a lecture that was by Fielding West, which was excellent. You heard from him yesterday and some of the things he was going to be talking about. Really good lecture. And this afternoon also, we had the first of the North American Championships qualifying rounds for having contestants to be entered into the FISM contest. And really great performers. I think Stuart McDonald was outstanding, as was Eric Buss. And the others all did admirable jobs as well. Those are the two that just kind of come to mind, and perhaps that's because they're friends of mine then as well. More competition than tomorrow. This evening show was really good, and it was emceed by none other than Mr. Gene Anderson, and it kicked off with Jonathan Neal and Leanne. And then we had David Diebel, who did some really funny comedy and a little bit of juggling then as well. And then Jason Andrews did a just fantastic manipulation and ending with a, kind of a dove routine. Wasn't expecting that. And then the evening was concluded with the illusions and the fun of the Outer Bridges. That's Ted and Marion Outerbridge. And it was a very satisfying show this evening. So those were some of the things that went on here today, but right now I'm going to let you listen to a few of the people who I chatted with during the day, and I think you'd be kind of interested to hear what they have to say. I know I am. I'd like to hear it again then as well. So, enjoy day two from the IBM SAM Combined Convention here in Louisville, Kentucky on the Magic Word Podcast. Well, good morning from Louisville, and this is the official day one, the one that I posted there for today as being day one. Actually, it was kind of a prologue, I guess, but now that everything has started, we just saw the lecture by Bruce Calver. They've had all of the other meetings this morning of the different organizations, IBM and SAM, accordingly. But I'm over in the dealer's room then right now with a good friend and yours also, Mr. John Stirk. Hey there, John.
Hey, Scotty. What's going on?
Well, I'm having a great time so far. I've been enjoying everything. How'd you like the movie last night?
It was good. Yeah. You know, and I know we're totally going to be doing that catchphrase around the Magic Lounge now. They would say, "Oh, how was your show last night? Were you there?
Yeah, were you there?
It killed. Yeah."
There were so many different things that were lines that were inside jokes and places. I mean, like where he went on the date that was at the Jeff McBride's Wonderground. You know, that was the location for it and everything. So anyhow, there were just a bunch of things I thought was really kind of cool about the movie. It was enjoyable. I didn't get to the autograph party, except the one they had there, but there was another poster, I guess, they had here.
It's actually been rescheduled.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to do that at another time.
I wonder what was going on then with that. Interesting. Well, One of the reasons, John, I want to talk with you was about the Magic Lounge. I was watching the video that was online that they did with WGN, I guess, or something that came out. Because the exciting news is that you guys have got a new location and are kind of moving down the block.
That's right. We're going to be moving a neighborhood over from where we are in Uptown. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be moving to Andersonville neighborhood at 5050 North Clark.
Okay.
So what we've done is we've leased a building. It's a former industrial laundromat. And we are completely gutting the building. There's no roof on it right now. And we're pouring concrete, putting in pipes this week. And in January, it will reopen as a new permanent home of the Chicago Magic Lounge.
And there will be a close-up room?
Yes, there'll be three performance areas. There'll be a magic bar.
Right.
There'll be a main cabaret room. And then there will be a small close-up theater, which we're naming the 654 Club.
That's funny. Okay.
Talk about inside magician jokes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's clever. I like that. So, right now, of course, you're sharing the Magic Lounge with the Burlesque House.
Right, yeah.
So, you're only open so many nights.
Yeah, we do the show two nights a week, and the theater is the Uptown Underground, which is owned by the Kiss Kiss Cabaret Burlesque Troupe. Mm-hmm. So, they have a variety of programming throughout the week, and we have two nights, Thursday and Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. And so when you have your new location open, how many nights a week will that be open?
We're planning on doing magic programming five nights a week.
That's great.
And the other two, still a little up in the air, but we're leaning towards doing some live jazz performance.
Right, well, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Wow, that'll be great. Now, because I know Chicago's got a lot of really great jazz places, but this will be a nice little addition of something to do that then, too. Will you be then having it available for corporate events or banquets?
Oh, absolutely.
You'll have it like private closeout?
Absolutely, yeah. We'll be available for buyouts and private corporate events, too, and that's going to be another function of the 654 Club.
Right. And so is there someone actually who is going to be over in charge and doing this, like, that's his full-time job? I mean, the rest of the guys are kind of coming
well,
and going.
It's already his full-time job, and that's our owner and CEO, Joey Cranford.
Mm-hmm.
So he's already left his former day job and is now the full-time Magic Lounge producer.
Okay.
And then when the new building opens, a few others of us will be making that leap.
Well, it sounds like it is a lot of expense. I mean, I saw the video of the Jonathan Cam had shown kind of the back rooms and everything. At first, I thought it was a meat locker or someplace, you know, when I saw the tile on the wall and whatnot. But
yes, so I think what you saw was some video from our groundbreaking ceremony.
Yes, exactly.
And the day after that groundbreaking ceremony, the sledgehammer started swinging.
Okay.
So we wasted no time whatsoever.
Now, are you looking for investors? Do you have investors, or what's the
situation? Covered.
Okay.
We're covered. We have our angel investor, really, is Don Clark, who's really put a lot of his energy and
formidable finances.
Yes, to put it mildly, yeah.
Because that is no cheap deal, it looks like, first of all, to own the place. I assume that you're leasing the place, or do you own it outright?
We're leasing the building. We have a 10-year lease on it.
Okay. And then to completely re-gut that. So I saw also the architectural plans of what all that you got planned. And so it sounds like since they got the backing already that they can go forward, which means your opening date is kind of scheduled for what?
Well, we're planning for January 2018, so only 6 months from now.
And do you see a lot of progress day to day or week
to week? Oh, absolutely. In fact, everyone can keep up on our progress.
How do they do that?
We have a website set up that's Joey's running. EnterThroughTheLaundry.com. It's spelled all the way out. EnterThroughTheLaundry.com.
It's like a webcam that's kind of like there all the time.
No, he's posting almost daily updates with photos of the construction that's going on. So just yesterday, they were pouring some concrete.
Yeah.
And kind of outlining where the stage is going to be. So
I was just thinking, for an example, like on ski resorts, that they'll have like ski cams or something and show you what the weather is like and up at the top of the certain hills and everything. It'd be kind of neat if they had like a static webcam that just kind of.
No, it's probably a good idea. We don't have the static webcam because everybody would just be staring at it all day. Productivity would go down the drain.
Yeah.
So probably best we don't do that.
Well, are you having a good time so far at this convention?
Yeah, it's been great. My buddy Danny Rudnick and I, we rolled in yesterday.
Yeah.
And immediately got to going, and I attended the SAM council meeting this morning.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I very involved with our local SAM assembly number 3 in
right.
Chicago. I was the president for the last couple of years. I just stepped down and turned the reins over to someone else,
mm-hmm.
So that I can put some more energy into the Magic Lounge
Magic
stuff.
Lounge.
But I'm still very involved in our assembly.
We have an assembly that's certainly grown under your presidency.
Yeah, last year we won the Membership Growth Award.
Wow.
So I was very proud of that.
Yeah, and you've done some things. I know whenever I've sent some lectures your way that you've kind of done some joint things with other groups.
Yeah, well, I know in particular there was a case where I think it was for Garrett Thomas.
It was, yeah.
That our club and another club, we both wanted to have Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
So I called them up and I said, well, why don't we go halvesies? And we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pooled your resources. Yeah. And it worked out pretty well. Had good attendance.
Yeah. Everybody had a great time.
Yeah. And so, as far as another convention coming up that you're going to be going, I assume, to Colon again.
Absolutely.
The 80th or something?
It's the 80th this year. It's a big one. So I'll be there.
What are you in charge of again?
I am in charge of the street performers.
Okay.
So the Chamber of Commerce of Colon has generously organized a budget. So I have hired a couple guys to do a street performance at scheduled times and locations.
Right.
So those times and locations are going to be published in the program and in the paper that gets released.
Right.
So people can go see Magic without having to buy a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll also be there this year for the second year now playing the organ.
Okay. Where are you downtown, or where are you going
to? No, it'll be at the shows.
Oh, you mean
yeah?
What was the lady's name who used to do the organ?
It was Wilma Wrench.
Wilma,
so for
yeah.
many years, Wilma Wrench would play the organ during the shows because
mm-hmm.
She had toured for years and years with the circus as an
yeah.
organist,
mm-hmm.
and she retired about 5 or so years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I really missed having the live music, and a lot of other people did too.
Sure.
And I looked around and I thought to myself, well, nobody else is going to do it. I guess I'm going to have to. So
last year was your first year?
Yeah.
Well, I
yeah.
remember that. So I did get to see you the first time since the beginning of a new tradition. Saturday.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Great.
Start of a new tradition.
Cool.
I don't play quite the same style as Wilma does, but I definitely have my nods to her because
yeah.
It's traditional to start the show with there's no business like show business. So I have to learn that one.
Uh-huh.
And make sure I play that one.
Are you still playing around Chicago?
Yeah, places? Absolutely. I'm kind of backing away from the improv world.
Mm-hmm.
I played at, I trained at Second City. I played at IO and Comedy Sports and a lot of other places. But as the Magic Lounge is growing, I'm sort of retiring from that stuff. And when the Magic Lounge opens, I'll be there playing the piano.
And this was the third year of the Magic Lounge being open?
We're at 2.5.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was March 2015. And, boy, it really just feels like yesterday. It really does.
That's what I was going to say as well. Now, people who have not attended, or tell them just real briefly where it is and how they can get more information.
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook at Chicago Magic Lounge. We're on Instagram and Twitter as well. But you really want to go to ChicagoMagicLounge.com for all the info. We put our schedule of performers up there. You could buy your tickets, and we hope to see you soon.
And not only buy tickets, you can also join the membership. You get
yes.
an annual membership.
Yes, we do have an annual membership program, but that will not survive to the next one.
Oh.
We're going to be creating a brand new association, a brand new membership program
mm-hmm.
That's going to have a lot more benefits to it since we'll have our own place, our own base of operations.
And for those magicians who are interested in wanting to perform there?
Yes, you can email us at booking@ChicagoMagicLounge.com. We set up a special email address for that. And if you're really interested, we're very selective. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
We're going to be very scrutinizing these very carefully. So you must send in a video for us to see.
And what is it specifically that you're looking for?
Well, we're looking for a dynamic nightclub stage performance
okay.
for adults. So
and for adults, yeah, because I've seen
yes.
that also. I mean, this is certainly not G-rated.
Well, no, it doesn't have to be. I mean,
yeah.
me personally, I don't say anything dirty.
Yeah.
I do a little innuendo.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's a difference between, you know, I guess like a family performance and a nightclub performance.
Right. Right.
It's really all in the attitude. So
right. So it's really more of a comedy club. For those who have been to comedy clubs, you know, you can expect that there may or may not necessarily be some blue humor. So
yeah, it's closer to that. And, you know, we can't deny the fact that on Saturdays, we do the 8 o'clock and the 10 o'clock is a burlesque show. So It's going to be a night of adult entertainment, either way.
Right, right. Well, that sounds great. Well, listen, thank you very much, John. Always good to see you.
Anytime, Scotty. Okay. I hope to see you in Chicago soon.
Well, hopefully to get up there sometime shortly as well.
Alrighty.
So, from the Magic Cord Podcast and from Louisville Home in the Dealer's Room, we're going to walk around a little bit. That was John Sternkin. This is Scotty out. Well, as we're walking around the dealer's room, and I've ended up purchasing a couple of things. One is a backup, and then also a folding close-up pad over from Patrick Prezecki, and pads by Patrick. And I'd recommend that you guys, if you haven't got a close-up pad or you need a new one, check him out. But run into old friends old and new, I guess I should say. And you're a good old friend, Steve Bryan. Hey, Steve.
Hi, at least I'm old.
Well, and you're a good friend. And from my neck of the woods, being in southern Illinois, I was driving through Cairo, Illinois, actually I drove from Houston up to Mattoon, and so I drove through Cairo, and you live in Cairo. Is that right?
I do. I don't still.
Well, where are you now?
Bloomington, Indiana.
Bloomington, okay. Well, yes. After we were in Mattoon, then we drove over to through Indiana over to Ohio to spend a few days in Columbus. So I may have. Where about is Bloomington, the southern part of?
It's about an hour south of Indianapolis.
Okay, yeah, because we drove through Indy actually, so wouldn't have gone that far south. So tell me, you are still the editor of the Little Egypt Gazette.
I am,
and that is a monthly blog, and you got a lot of really good detail and information that is in that. Mostly they're like book reviews. You are really kind of like the Richard Hatch of Bloomington, Indiana, I guess.
It's book I do a lot of reviews, but I like to add something to it. For example, this month we looked at Bob Farmer's BAMO Tarot, whatever he calls it. It's an amazing new card system. And there's
a
lot
of mnemonic system or something kind of.
No, it's a way that you can suddenly sort cards. You can have somebody shuffle a deck, and then you tell them exactly how to, by looking at the cards, secret marks, and, and that's a spoiler, you can, in one or two passes, put it all back perfectly in order.
Wow.
In other words, it contains its own instructions on how to unshuffle itself.
Yeah.
So I was seeing how to do it from his instructions, but I didn't understand why it worked.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned to a friend of mine who's a Caltech grad who's helped me out on some of these things before, and he explained it very well. So I explained that on their website.
Oh, okay.
With Bob's permission.
Right. And for them to find the website, it is what? What's the URL?
The easy one is littleegyptmagic.com, and there's one click after that, but you'll see it right away.
Right. Have you written another book? I know that you had a children's fiction.
I have two children's novels out. Lucas McKenzie and the London Midnight Ghost Show, which is about a traveling ghost show in 1959. The second one is called McGrave's Hotel, which is one night in a haunted New York City hotel in 1936, in the days leading up to World War II.
Mm-hmm.
I will be presenting a talk on those and doing a spooky magic show on the 29th at the Barnes & Noble in Bloomington, Indiana. So if you're anywhere near there, come on by.
July 29th.
July 29th.
Okay, there you go. And you're going to be talking about both of those.
Pardon?
We'll be talking about both of those books?
Both books, right. And the reason for doing spooky magic is it kind of shows people what happened in the Midnight Ghost Show.
And for those of you who don't know, one of the reasons I like talking with Steve is because we have a lot of things in common. I loved your book that was the Spirits or the Ghosts.
Little Egypt Book of Ghosts.
Thank you. Little Egypt Book of Ghosts. And a lot of really good ideas because I like seances, and October is one of your favorite months, too.
Awesome. Right. I love it.
You used to do some seances. Have you found any place in Bloomington where you can do
that? No, I haven't done any in a long time, and I'm thinking of doing one this October just to spring it on my family.
Mm-hmm.
My grandkids haven't seen one.
Yeah.
And they don't really have an idea of how spooky it can get.
Have you added anything new, or are you still kind of doing some of the same
Nothing new, same things.
Yeah, okay. And how long does your seance typically go? Do you go about 30 minutes, 40?
30.
Okay. And do you use a candle? Do you use a Ouija board?
I don't always use a Ouija board. I try to always use a candle.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends. We mostly did, it's kind of a cross between a seance and a ghost show, because it was like parlor magic. In other words, we weren't seated around a table. And we did this for many, many years for my kids when they were growing up and their friends. When it got boring for them, like mid-high school, then I transferred it back to Southern Illinois. A friend of mine had a bar, and so we would do it at Halloween on the bar, at the bar.
Right.
And we could even enhance it, make it scarier.
You know, when Jamie and I have talked about our seances getting started to begin with, it was trying to determine whether that we wanted to portray ourselves as a psychic or a clairvoyant or whether we were ghost hunters or just... And so my question to you is, how do you present yours? I mean, is this something which you have someone you contact that, and you always have the same person, or?
I'm sort of Rod Serling. I'm just a presenter, just a host.
Okay, and no telling who's going to be coming.
Introducing different things.
Okay, because the last few years have been doing a Jack the Ripper seance.
Ooh, that can be scary.
Particularly where we do it in Houston, because that's... It is thought, and it's possible, that one of the suspects, who was Jack the Ripper, had left England, come by ship over to the U.S., and committed several types of crimes before the police stations were connected together and knew about what serial killers were. Of course, he was the first one, and there were several other kinds of, said Ripper-esque types of murders with prostitutes and being eviscerated from New York, Chicago, Atlanta, and Galveston, Texas. And so this bar where we perform the seance is in the same, it's a location that was built in 1847. It was a popular watering hole, and a lot of people came through there. I mean, Sam Houston used to drink there and everything. Prostitutes ply their trade there. And so it's believable that he may have come through looking for a prostitute there and was too busy and then went on further south to Galveston. So that way we can really build it up even more to make it more believable to try to bring his spirit back, you know.
Yeah, I should ask you, one of the hardest things for me to do, we've done it a few times over the years, but we don't always do it, is a materialization. Do you actually make a ghost appear?
To an extent, yes. I mean, we don't actually make the embodiment physically appear, but certain things will happen as far as sounds. Mm-hmm. You know, we use a really creepy doll, so we use psychokinetic touches, you know, using the doll and tapping the doll, and the person feels it on the, you know, by tapping the doll. And so there's some manifestations, but I wouldn't say no. We don't actually...
Visually, that's a problem. The best thing I ever had for that was Nelson's Phantom Ghost Projector.
Huh.
It was so cool. It looked very spooky on the wall. It had a very, very low wattage light bulb that he used. So he says, no telltale ray. But it would appear on the wall, and you could change the focus on the thing and make it fuzzy and not fuzzy and so forth. And it looked really great, but mine eventually disintegrated. I mean, the metal just fell apart.
Now, is this something that you would have a Confederate doing?
No, you can do it yourself.
You can.
It's shaped like a, in fact, it was a child's toy pistol. Nelson took a toy pistol that had a film strip in it, and that would advance the film like a Disney characters would advance.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up with his own spooky film strip.
Yeah.
And it worked beautifully. T.A. Waters used to make them for him. T.A. used to work for Bob Nelson in Columbus.
Okay.
And he used to make these.
And what were they called again?
Nelson's Phantom Ghost Projector.
Phantom Ghost Projector. And they're no longer available, obviously.
No longer available. You can see them in my Little Egypt Book of Ghosts, and I also did an article about them in Seance Magazine, so that got published in Richard Kaufman's compilation Seance.
Right, right. So anything new that you're working on? Any new books or anything that, or magic or...
No, just that I buy something every month, or see something every month, or come to something every month.
Yeah.
We're here at the IBM SAM convention, and that gives me something to chat about.
Anything that you've seen here at the convention so far?
I just got here. I don't even have a room yet.
I was going to say, this is the first time I walked through, so I thought perhaps.
Yeah, I just drove down today. It's about a two-hour drive.
They said they're expecting like a sellout of 1,200 people, so it should be a pretty big convention.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, good. Thank you very much. Always good to see you, and always think about whenever I'm putting these things together, because you tell me that you like about a one-hour time, because when you're jogging, that you have that, you're
exactly
at the gym.
Yeah. Exactly. I do. I listened to you this week.
Okay. Well, thanks again. It's over the Magic Word Podcast. That's my buddy Steve Bryant. This is Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and the dealer's room still open, and a lot of people have left there to go over to watch the stage competition, and this is the North American FISM competition, and we've got the judging going on. Actually, the last act is just wrapping up in there, but I thought I would have a chance to chat with my friend and yours, Mr. Steve Bagazzi. Hey there, Stephen.
It's Scott. Always good to be a part of you. The magic word.
Great. Oh, thank you. I'm glad you finished that
big
thought.
Fan. Yeah. And magic word. Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you about your son. About he was is a comedian, been traveling and been very popular and on the Conan show and everything over there. And you
much,
said he's got
much more popular than his dad. Well, but yeah. Conan, he started on Conan. A lot of people forget about that.
Yeah.
But he actually got more known on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon, that's right.
And
yeah.
Matter of fact, he'll be on July 22nd. He'll be back on Jimmy Fallon this month.
Okay.
Whenever this comes out, but not too
this
long.
This will be out tomorrow.
Yeah, well, yeah, good. So he's coming up on there. He has a new Netflix special, The Stand-Ups. He's the very first comic
really?
On
okay.
there. On that Netflix special, and it's doing really well.
What's the name of that special?
It's called The Stand-Ups.
Okay.
Six different guys.
And that's available right now. You can go to Netflix and watch it.
Yeah, it came out July 4th. And it's doing really well, and he's doing well.
And his name again is?
It's Nate Bargatze. He has that weird last name.
Now, is he still, I remember he kind of got started in his comedy CD was about My Dad's a Clown.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Here's the funny thing. We've done a couple, probably about four in this year already, shows together.
That's fun. That's
going
to be cool.
And yeah, oh, it's fantastic. And we don't tell nobody who I am. Mm-hmm. They don't introduce me. They don't say Bargatze. They just say the magic of Steven.
Steven, yeah.
And I've got a new introduction that's been really kind of funny. It's hard to do to show you, but it's just... like where I lose, they don't have an introduction for me, so I have to come out and kind of introduce myself and all this stuff.
Well, you're supposed to have said this.
Yeah. So, I say it makes me really mad because I know I gave that guy my introduction. It was in my pocket, and you know, then you pulled it out.
Yeah.
And then
so I guess
then
I
you
didn't.
Just yeah, with a lot of eye rolls, you just say I'll read it myself. This next guy's my favorite on the show.
That's funny.
It's really, really here. And then I go, he's warmed up for Bill Cosby, Jay Leno. I need to quit saying Bill Cosby, and I just rub it off. That's kind of the end of it, and I just go start my act. But we never mention my last name. So, and it's really funny because my son, he's got a pretty good fan base of people. I mean, when we just did Zany's in Nashville, Tennessee, and he sold it out in like a day and a half. And I would say 75% of the people there did not know that I was his father when I even came out. But they were all going, at the end, they were going, are you the clown? You're the one
he's
he was
talking about?
But when he comes out, I go on right before him. And so there's cards. I make kind of a mess. And he said, yeah, this is what it's like growing up in my house. It's just decks of cards and everything. You know, so he starts really making fun of me all over again.
Right.
But in not the same old clown stuff, but it's still really good, funny thing. I mean, his big joke is, you know, since it's only... so long your dad can be a clown. He said, it's about till you're 12 years old. He goes, and then all your friends start going, is he still doing that? He goes, no, he's almost full-time magic now.
Move from clowning to magic.
Yeah.
He's advanced, is that what?
Yeah. So basically, he's still making fun of me. The answer, that's a long answer to that question. I still make him money.
Okay. Yeah, you're still...
I think one of the... this last thing is really good. One of the... we actually did Josh J's Magi Fest together.
Yeah. Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
This last year.
And when he first came out, it was so great. His first line, he looked around and he goes, so this is what's more important in my little league baseball games.
That's a great line.
Yeah.
So that's what he's been doing. More important.
Yeah. he said, I've been watching this convention the whole long, and y'all have a security guard at all the doors. He goes, let me tell you, nobody's trying to sneak in here.
That's good.
But it was fantastic. It was a really great time. It was really cool because I met Josh when Josh was probably 9 or 10 years old, maybe, through his father. And his father really liked my magic and for some reason. And he'd always talk to me. And I remember the day where he introduced me to Josh. same, you know, like he was almost embarrassed to say, would you mind watching a trick for my son?
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, I said, yeah, that'd be great. And then little, I know the little brat would pull the, you know, be just fantastic.
Right.
And he was great. And so that night, without Josh, you know, I was able to, that was part of the deal. Without Josh, I brought him up and said, time for me to return the favor. I want to introduce you to my son.
Yeah.
And then Nate came out, and he did really well. It was great. It was a lot of fun.
Wow. That's, you know, my son does fire eating, and I've had him open. Yeah, he worked with Brian Brushwood.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
When he was in college, he interned for Brian. Brian was, again, a kid I've known, you know, since he was in high school. And that's a long story, but I've talked about it in the podcast before, but the point is that he learned to do fire eating, and so I've had him open a few of my shows. He doesn't do it anymore now that he's married and got a responsible job, you know.
Right. He needs his chin and chest hair.
That's right. But it's funny, but that's how that he had attracted his wife like a moth to a flame, you know, basically. Yeah. Quite right, that he was at a party and he was in some fire eating just at a friend's house, you know, and his girl thought that's kind of a cool thing, and when we started talking to him, and sparks ignited.
Wow.
They got married and got kids. Anyhow, so the you get out from time to time also and fill in like for Matt King, and we're here at this this convention. It's honoring both Matt King and Lance Burton, and from time to time that he has some things, I guess, in which we'll take him out on corporate dates or just wants a vacation, right, or something.
Yeah, I got a call to do this whole week. And Rob Zabrecki's there, which is, they got a much better show than me.
It's a completely different show.
Yeah.
I love Rob, yeah.
But
and you're okay, too.
Yeah, you know? it was nice. And I just kind of, the guy called me. I go, you know what, I'm going on the board with, I'd supposedly be going
on the IBM board?
IBM board. So I said, I needed to attend this instead of taking Mac so he can come here and they can say how great you are that you're from Louisville, which is from the exact same place I'm at and nobody could care about. But I went to high school with Lance. And,
you did?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
At one time, he went to Butler High School. We both attended Butler. I was like 2 years ahead of him, I think. And
I'm sorry, it's not a view of Nashville.
Yeah, at one time, actually me, Lance, and Mike King, that other guy, we all three were on the strip. Hotels almost right across the street and side by each other, and we grew up within 5 miles of each other.
Louisville's taking over Vegas.
Yeah. But I was the least more paid of all of them. Both of them made a lot more money than I did that day, and they still do.
You were still on the strip, though, you know. There's something to be said about that.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome moment for me. I don't think those two guys even knew about it. But
I know you work a lot with Michael Finney then also, and Michael is going to be moving up the ranks, I guess, going to be president next
year. He's the one making me, him and Oscar are the one that got me on the board and just trying to get me tagged along. So I'm going to give it a try, at least a year, and just see if I can. This is my living. Yeah. I gotta do work.
Well, that's like with Oscar also. I mean, he was trying to balance this past year of travel and all the emails and everything. I mean, when you're the president, there is a lot of stuff that you're having to do. I mean, it's not just a figurehead. I mean, you're coordinating a lot of things. And, of course, that he's doing full-time. I mean, he's doing big shows to small shows, you know, birthday parties. The next day he's working the Palladium or something, you know.
Oscar's a lot smarter than me, too. So, I'm willing to do it. Anything IBM, I believe in it. It's a great organization, and the SAM both are, and I'm a member of both. And so I'm willing to.
How long have you been members of each organization?
I'm not sure. I'm Orland, the
Order of Merlin.
I'm that one, whatever that is.
That's 25 years. Yeah.
So at least a minimum of that, and the SAM probably about the same.
Yeah. And you're a member. Have you ever been the president of your local ring?
No, it's really great because I ran twice and did not get elected. And one time I ran unopposed and I didn't get elected.
Wait a minute. You ran unopposed and did not get elected. How does that happen?
Yeah, it was.
We don't need a president this year.
It was a big write-in campaign. To me, it's one of the funniest things that ever happened. How bad can you be? And I'm not even saying I even want to be the president. I'm just going to get on the board and do what I need to
do. That's what I did. I served 3 years, you know, and then served on other committees and
whatnot, yeah, yeah, as you yeah, know. Yeah. You've been attending conventions for a long time then. Well, I mean, not just attending, but performing in a lot of these. Haven't you?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, IBM has been, both of them, and that's been very good to me and allow me to do that, both as, you know,
that's one of the things you do. One of the things I love about you is that you give back. You don't, you're not a taker. You're a giver. And the more you give, the more you get, I find, you know, in life.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I think it's not, I mean, to be a good, just be a good entertainer and get along with the people. Don't be hard to work with. Yeah. And that's what, that was always my philosophy on the convention. You know, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. And, you know, I also believe a performer is here is, and I've seen you do this, so I know it's done, you know, that I'm being paid to actually mix with everybody that's coming to the convention. So it's very important for me to be a part of the whole convention.
Right.
If somebody wants to sit down and talk to you or whatever,
right,
you do all
be accessible,
of that.
Accessible, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Right.
Right.
And for more information on what you were talking about and to go deeper into that, for those who are listening, if you go back into the website, the Magic Word Podcast, and just do a search and put in Steve Bregazzi's name and also Merrill. Rick Merrill's name in there, and we did
a new idiot.
We did a
idiot shows up. Those same two guys.
That we did a podcast with the two of you guys and David Corsaro. We're talking about your comedy, and it was
right.
just something that was about your style and about comedy and how to write, how to create, and it was an excellent episode. It was probably about 2 years ago, and it's still in the archives. Right. And go back and find that. It's good.
Oh yeah, great. That was a lot of fun doing. Yeah, and it was because we write an act there. For those real quick, that we write an act every year then when we go to 4F. Mm-hmm. And so it was just that process that we sat down and talked about how to write comedy and you know, where's that line and how to get
right.
to the line, when not to cross over it. And yeah, there's some good interesting. I just did sat down with somebody else that's doing exactly the same thing with some DVDs, just going to talk to a bunch of guys about writing and putting an act together.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, a guy named Jason Michaels.
Okay. Good.
In here.
Well, thank you, Steve. Always good, good to see you.
We'll talk again, right? We're not done. One and a half.
The first official day. I already published one.
Of course you have.
Today for day one. With over an hour for the stuff just from last night alone. So, yeah, there's so many people to see here. With I just heard Bob Patterson was saying that they had like 975 registrants, but still
right.
a lot of walk-ins. So it's going to go over 1,000, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Well, that's the advantage of having a combined convention, certainly. And I'm kind of in hope, personally, that they will start doing more combined conventions because it's kind of difficult to split those. And we have a lot, as you said, members who are of both organizations, and I'm a life member of both. And so it's, yeah, I think it's important that we not only support it, but then, you know, this is one of the advantages of being a member
right.
of the organization, is to come to attend a convention where you get to see the dealers, you get to talk with people, you get to learn some great ideas, see all the lectures, and there's
right.
so much to do.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's just the reconnect with all the people.
Good point.
And this is why I've said, talked to people about this. It's really funny because in my life, especially as I'm not in a band, I don't travel, I don't have a partner. So when I'm on the road, I'm on the road by myself, and I'm traveling by myself most of the time,
yeah.
and setting everything up.
You don't have a lot of roadies.
No, no. Yeah.
And
I wish. And most of my friends back at home are, they're really only a couple of friends we have. They're my wife's friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're people that she worked with and she knows, and their husbands that we have to be friends because their wives are friends.
Sure.
So my really only two friends are magicians, and mm-hmm. which I don't get to see as often as you would like to, except places like this. And so for me, that's just as important, just to connect with these guys that truly are. I really do believe you and some people down. I saw Gene Anderson's here, Everett Chapman, Gary Plants. I'm just seeing Field and West. These are guys that I really consider friends that I don't get to see as often.
Well, I agree. And then whenever that we see each other, you know, sometimes each year, or, you know, there are other conventions going on and we might see each other
yeah.
two or three times throughout the year. And it's like you pick up and, like, no time has been lost, except that our hair gets grayer or less of it, you know.
Well, I've got both of those going.
Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. It's always good having you over here on the podcast. So,
thanks.
From the Magic Word in Louisville, Kentucky, that was Stephen Bregazzi, and this is Scotty out. Scott Wells for the Magic Word podcast, and as we kind of stroll around the dealer's room over here, that I ran into another friend. Then you, if you go back into the podcast history, you can find a specific podcast with Rick Heath. Hey there, Rick.
Hey, Scott. How you doing?
Fantastic. Always really good to see you. And I understand, so you're going to be writing up an article then for the Linking Ring on the convention.
Yeah, Sammy Smith, the editor, called me about 4 or 5 days before the convention and kind of didn't twist my arm, so to speak, yeah. But suggested that I might consider it. I told him I wanted to sleep on it, called him back the next day, said the answer is yes, and you know, I've been really enjoying things so far, starting with Lance Burton's
screening of the Billy Toppit.
Yeah, the Billy Toppit, which was like a homecoming for a favorite son, you know, Matt King and Lance. Really beautiful occasion, chance for everybody to get together. Mm-hmm. And we're in the dealer's room right now, and just looking at the representation of South Korea, Japan, California, Australia, New Zealand. It's really neat. It's kind of like a traveling bricks and mortar situation. And it's a great place for the magicians just to kind of hang out after a show, ideally located right across from the Grand Ballroom, so everybody just files in over here, and a lot going on. So fun convention so far.
And you're a good person to write this up, having written a lot of things then for the newspaper, for the Cabot Street Cinema.
Yeah, you know, a number of things for that. And over the past few years, I've contributed several things to the Linking Ring. One of my favorites was an article called something like, you know, Mark of the Magi on Magic. And I'd always wondered, what was Cesario's take on magic? We're always doing things. Mm-hmm. So not too much philosophical reflection on the nature of magic. So over the years, I collected 10 or 12 things that he had actually, you know, spoken and made it to print. And for me, it was really neat to kind of assemble Cesario's thinking about magic as a performing art, magic as a philosophy, and that was neat. And then another one of Fu Manchu, mm-hmm. that was Cesario's.
Studied under.
Yeah, this was a major influence on our shows, and a lot of photographs of things that had inspired me as a painter, mm-hmm. you know, to do the backdrop. So, so writing's fun. You know, I enjoy it. It's a challenge, too.
It is a challenge.
Yeah.
That's right. And it's rather daunting as a journalist to have a blank sheet of paper from you, or from in front of you, or like in your case you do, or like if you're going to be in front of the computer, just a blank screen, you know, to have to start writing something. But I just tend to jump in and start writing and just kind of have a free form of thought, steady stream, and then kind of edit from there if necessary.
You know, I kind of function the same way. The inspiration will strike. And I'll just start putting things down, you know, I was going to say on a piece of paper, but on the computer screen, you know, open up a word processing program and just start to get the thoughts down. And then, you know, just start to cut and paste and drag things.
Right,
and
right.
All of a sudden something starts to happen and you realize, aha, you know, this here will link with this down here. Mm-hmm. So start to move things around, and pretty soon something coherent starts to emerge.
And I think it's the same thing like with creating magic, that a lot of times that you just need to throw out some ideas. You know, you're brainstorming with yourself, basically. And you try this or that, but in this case, like when you're cutting and pasting, you're moving things around, it's like, you know, things start to come together. But you just have to throw everything on the board to begin with, yeah.
You got to start someplace. And for me, Norman Rockwell, the painter, was always an inspiration, and every 6 weeks he had to come up with a Saturday Evening Post cover. And somebody said, well, how do you start? And he said, I always start with a lamppost. And he had a little sketch pad, and he would just sketch a lamppost, and then something would come, perhaps like a sailor leaning up against it, you know, or a young woman start, you know, then the next thing is a young woman walks by, mm-hmm. And then maybe a police car comes, and all these things start to emerge, and he might junk that one. Starts with another lamppost. And somebody said, well, why lamppost? He said, you know, it's like you got to start someplace.
Right.
And that was his device to get going. Oh, yeah. And, you know, for me, too, now working on a smaller scale independently, doing, you know, building and painting for magicians and collectors, you know, what I find is I might not have exactly the notion of where I'm going, but I'll start someplace. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's only paint. I can say, no, that's not it. Or that might suggest something else. And you start to find yourself going in a direction, then it catches on fire. So don't let fear get in the way.
That's the best things I've heard all week. Don't let fear get in your way of anything in life, really.
Yeah. And I remember once I started working on something. It was a big set of screens we were doing. And I was doing some little thing down in the corner. And Cesaro came along and said, "What are you doing? It's going to take 50 years to do that." You know, and he just kind of grabbed the paintbrush and he just kind of said, "Here, this is where you're going to start."
Yeah.
And it was like big, you know, just get at it. Don't let fear get in the way.
For those who are listening to this right now and have not gone back and listened to Rick or don't know who Rick Heath is, that he did work for many years, of course, then with Cesario and Le Grand David show, and was the person who'd made all of the beautiful posters and backdrops. And I say you kind of had people working with you.
Oh, of course.
Certainly. I mean, this was, as you always said before, that it's a team effort. It was when you're painting. I remember we talked about that.
And, but, you know, it really is a team effort. And I'm going to be doing the presentation at the Life SAM Life member meeting tomorrow, and the theme is going to be togetherness and how Cesario, putting our whole company together, really embraced this notion of togetherness. You know, working together, you know, enjoying each other together. And one of the stories that I'm going to be, you know, employing to make the point is, and this is true, this call him an itinerant magician, showed up at our doorstep one winter. You know, it was in November. It was cold and it was rainy. And this fellow was bordering on delusional. He had an idea that would revolutionize magic, but he couldn't tell me.
Okay.
Only he and Cesario could talk about it. Okay. And I mean, you know, this is delusional stuff.
Yes.
So Cesario invited him to Thanksgiving dinner. He put me in charge of him, so to speak. And I'm saying, oh, my God. So I brought him to Thanksgiving dinner, and we had been going maybe 20 years at the time. And he asked Cesario this question. Cesario, over all these years, what's the most important thing for you? One word from Cesario, togetherness. Later on, I asked Cesario, I said, Cesario, do you remember that? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, what did you mean? What, you know, and why a magic company? And he said, magic is a way to do theater, and theater is a way to bring people together. And Cesario did not use words lightly. They had a meaning,
yes,
when he used them. And in thinking about this whole presentation over X number of months, so many things Cesario said use that word together. Mm-hmm. And I think nowadays, you just look around at the world and you see the divisiveness and the chaos, things falling apart at the seams,
vitriol.
People at each other's throats, how toxic everything is. One person says something, another person digs their heels in immediately. You know,
right.
It's there, and I'm saying to myself, the most valid, representative, important, immediate thing we can talk about is people getting together. In a sane, intelligent, conscientious, for the greater good, not some twisted kind of thing. But that's what it's going to be about. And, you know, and it's kind of an unusual topic for a magic convention, but it's going to tie in all the things over 35 years, the way Cesario and the rest of us, we attempted. It wasn't all roses.
No.
It's hard work sometimes.
Just like family. You know, even though that you guys were all family, there were still problems, I'm sure, as any family has.
There were bumps in the road, and, you know, over the years. And one way Cesario headed those off, he started with relationships. There were two or three summers where sizable groups of us traveled throughout Europe with Cesario for a whole summer.
And did magic on the road?
No,
or just,
never,
just...
never did magic.
Huh.
But at the end of one summer, and I have it in my journal, he said, you people basically didn't get it. The whole thing was about developing a sensitivity to other people, developing a sensitivity to the choreography of the group. So when you're squeezing into cafe tables and sidewalks in Paris, there's a choreography there.
Right.
So how do you operate as an organic unit, whole, entity, when you, I mean, it's like before we even got on stage, we're becoming friends. So if you're friends with somebody and you know you're working on the same team, you'll find a way to overcome the bumps on the road.
Exactly.
You head them off at the pass.
Right.
And, you know, there were no applications or auditions or things like that. He started with getting people together. We were doing theater before we even had a theater.
Wow.
And that's the way he worked. So anyhow, now, going to be talking about this stuff.
We could sit and talk about it.
He got me going. I can't help it. I'm not at fault here. Scott got me going.
I take responsibility for that. Yeah. Tell me how David Bohl is doing. And
he's here.
Oh, is he? I would like to see him.
Yeah, you'll see him. He just got back. He got in about.
He's married now.
He and his fiance have a place in Western Massachusetts. And,
okay.
And he and I get together. You know, we're still so many of us. You know, the core of the company. We're still friends. We all get together.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
You know?
Even Seth? I mean, as he's grown.
I haven't seen Seth for a while. He's a world traveler on business.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah, he's like...
a smart young man.
He's way up there in a corporation that sets up IT systems for companies like Apple and Exxon. And I mean, yeah. Okay. And he's the one that does all the negotiating. He's not the tech guys, but he does the negotiating, develops the contracts... And he says it's all because of his work on, you know, growing up on stage.
Yeah, his confidence that he had. And,
the confidence he has, you know, working with other people. So, so thankfully we're all happy and healthy.
That's good.
Thankfully.
I'm always glad to see you.
Yeah,
and good
to see you. And, you know, thanks for getting me going here.
I know we can go on a long time.
I'm going.
On this well. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Rick Heath and this is Scotty Al.
All right, just a brief cleanup over here on aisle two. From yesterday's podcast, I had in passing mentioned that I was working at the Magic Castle in the close-up room with Armando Lucera. I was working early, he was working late, and I was trying to think of the gentleman who was doing the early show. Well, one of the friends of the Magic Word helped out. He had sent me a text, and that is Daniel Will, and so thank you, Daniel, for sending me that information and reminding me that it was Mike Elkin, E-L-K-A-N, was the fellow I was searching for. That was the name I was trying to think of. He did, again, the early close-up. He's a really nice guy, and what Daniel says, he talks to all the Magic students there at the Magic Castle about auditions and explains it and how positive that it is. He's on the committee and also sits in on auditions and everything then as well for those who are auditioning to become members of the Magic Castle. And one last thing, too, since this is being broadcast on Thursday, and of course that Thursday is my Magic and Martini night, and for those who are listening and who might be interested in joining us, I would love to have you come and join us. We're going to be meeting on the Skybridge Bar. That is the Skybridge that connects the two Galt houses together here in Louisville, Kentucky, and going to try to get together at 6 o'clock, at 6 p.m. Thursday on the 13th. And then shortly thereafter, for those of you who are listening, don't forget to remember that Thursday night is going to be the premiere of the Penn & Teller Foolish television show on the CW. And as we were reminded last evening when I aired this podcast, that Richard Turner is going to be on that premiere episode. So be for sure that if you can't catch it, set your DVRs. So that's going to be kind of a wrap from day two. And if you can make it, sure hope to see you and over there and have a martini with us over at the Skybridge Bar here in Louisville at 6 p.m. Until then, this is Scotty out.